And welcome to the midday for a Friday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and Joshua Roman is here with me. He's a cellist going to be performing tomorrow night with the UW Symphony Orchestra in Mills Hall in a program that includes the Minuet Antique of Ravel and the Fourth Symphony of Martinu, and more pertinent to Joshua's being in town is the Dvorak Cello Concerto. And welcome and happy Friday.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Norman.
And you have, I guess you would say, given up a prestigious position as a cellist. Let's start with that. You're working in the Seattle area, and at the age of 22, you were the principal cello for the Seattle Symphony.
That's right. Well, I always had my sights set on playing concertos and recitals, and there are so many ways to get there, and I didn't realize that as a student. You know, I always thought it was all about competitions. But I started to open my mind to all of the various possibilities out there, and I had the wonderful experience of being in the Seattle Symphony for 2 years. And when things really started working out, that's when I made the decision to go ahead and cut myself loose and move to New York and pursue my dreams.
A pretty daring move, wouldn't you say?
Well, I don't know. For me, it was always just a matter of when, and I felt that that was the time. So some people considered it a daring move, but I never envisioned myself as somebody with a salary and a job security.
Steady job.
Right. So that was never something that really held me there.
And so what do you do in New York?
Well, not much in New York itself. I'm mostly on the road performing concertos like this week and doing all sorts of interesting, at least I find them interesting, projects that are slightly outside of the norm, like working with the actress Anna Deavere Smith on a project that we did earlier this year and will continue in the spring, and working with people like Paul Miller, DJ Spooky. I have a series that I curate in Seattle. So actually, I just arrived a couple of days ago in Wisconsin from Seattle. And before that, I was in L.A. playing with the Philharmonic there. So I get to do a wide variety of things. It's really
fun. That's Town Music Seattle? Is that the one you curate? Or what kind of arrangement is that?
It's a very good thing for me. I actually started doing it 6 years ago. This is the sixth season, and they just wanted someone to program 5 concerts a year. It's a small chamber music series, but it's really grown. And every year we have a big commission at the end of the year, which happens in June. And in the past, we've done composers like Gabriel Alina Frank, Mason Bates, Dan Visconti, and this year Jefferson Friedman is doing it. And these are really guys on the rise. It's awesome. And I get to bring wonderful performers there. There's a comedy duo that performed on Monday night. Their name is Egudisman and Jew. And they have amazing YouTube videos, super fun. So it's a wide variety of things there as well.
It's not just musical then, you're saying.
Well, it is musical. It's a musical comedy duo. They're sort of picking up where Victor Borge left off.
Well, there's a big gap there, isn't there? There's plenty to catch up on.
There is, yes.
Victor hasn't been with us for quite some time.
And they're working very hard to fill that gap, yes. It's a big shoes to fill.
And I'm intrigued also by the YouTube Symphony Orchestra. They had a debut concert at Carnegie Hall about 3 years ago. What is the YouTube Symphony Orchestra?
The YouTube Symphony Orchestra was a very interesting project that Michael Tilson-Thomas and YouTube and Google, which were, I think, still separate at that point, all teamed up to pull off. And the idea was that you would create a symphony orchestra through YouTube. So they actually came together in the end at Carnegie Hall to perform, but the audition process was all done online. Anybody in the world could upload a video. There were certain parameters. You had to play, I think, one sort of excerpt piece, any instrument though, not even just the normal orchestral instruments, but one excerpt piece and then one showy piece or something like that. And then people would vote on it. And that's how you got into the orchestra. So it was really exciting move for in terms of community development of the classical world online, and pretty big success.
It must have had a lot of auditioners.
Oh yeah, I don't remember the numbers, but it was pretty incredible. They had a lot, and they did it again in 2011 in Sydney, and I think had even more since the publicity from the first one in 2009 had sort of been rolling for a couple of years. So it's turned into a thing, and hopefully they'll do it again soon.
It sounds like something that might work every couple of years, maybe?
That's about the timeline that they've done so far, and if they pull it off again next year, then that'll be, I guess you could say, the norm.
Well, from something large and complex like that, one person, one cello, still really, in a sense, the most intense way you can make music, I suppose.
I love it. I love doing that. And actually, I played alone at that concert, too. I did the Sarabande from the first suite.
And you have your cello with you.
I do, yes.
That's very fortunate. What can we cajole you into playing?
Well, I thought I would play something also from the first suite, very simple, Bach, very straightforward, but I think very profound and beautiful. And this particular movement, extremely recognizable from its use in pop culture and, of course, in classical music as well. So I thought I'd do the Prelude from the first suite.
When you're this close to a cello, you really can appreciate how long it takes for the sound to reverberate at the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a process. And the cello, is that an instrument that you can play in pretty much any circumstance without a pickup? I mean, we're talking about a lot of modern, you know, contemporary music here.
Well, it just depends on what you're playing with. Generally, if you're playing with acoustic instruments, you're totally fine. But if you start adding other instruments, even the concerto I just played in L.A., it's for cello and orchestra, but you have also an ensemble which is folk-oriented with two percussionists and an accordion. But the accordion uses all of these effects that are driven through a processor. So when you have an amplified accordion, then you have to amplify all these tiny little percussion sounds. A lot of them are like frog and bird sounds, and not just the brushes and the drums. At that point, things are so loud that you have to amplify the cello. Otherwise, it's not an even match.
becomes kind of competition to see who can be louder.
Yeah, and you don't want that. I mean, it's definitely, I think that when you end up amplifying anything, hopefully the goal is just to get it to the point where everything is balanced. And usually you don't need that with the cello. If you're doing, almost never would you need that when you're doing just acoustic instruments. But anytime you plug somebody in, you got to start plugging everybody in. And so,
do you do a lot of that?
I do a fair amount of that. I even have a group. It's really fun. We have drums, clarinet, violin, and cello. And we have had quite a few pieces written for us, and it's really fun. But we have to amplify so that we can keep up with the drum kit.
And so in a situation like that, what would you say the cello would add to the ensemble, or what would be its role?
The cello is fun because it has a pretty versatile role, even in those situations. You know, I can hold down the bass line when that's necessary, but it's also a very melodic instrument and has possibilities other than that. So I really get to play around a lot more. I mean, the violin can do sort of backup or can do melody, but you can't really put the violin on the bass. And clarinet is similar, you know, pretty similar. So it's up to me to jump around and go back and forth between popping out and then being really the supporting role. And in those cases, it's a lot of fun.
So in this piece by Piazzolla that we have here, what's the instrumentation for that?
Piano. There's a guitar. There's a bass. And, of course, the cello. I believe there may even be like a tiny, like one shaker or something. It's been a while. I can't remember, but I think there's a shaker.
We'll listen closely for that shaker. What's the name of it?
This is Otoño Porteño, or Buenos Aires in the Fall.
Which includes cellist Joshua Roman, my guest today for the midday. They're Piazzolla, don't they, Joshua?
Oh, Piazzolla's great.
There's just so much variety there, so much to experience. And the name of that one again?
That's Otoño Porteño by Piazzolla, of course.
By Piazzolla, by golly. Back with Joshua Roman, who's in Wisconsin to perform the Dvorak Cello Concerto with the UW Symphony Orchestra. James Smith will be the conductor. It's tomorrow night. That's November 10th, 8 o'clock, Mills Hall, and you can get tickets right there. You mentioned the Saraband by Bach.
That's right.
Can we hear that? What's so wonderful about the Saraband other than the fact that it is Bach?
Well, Sarabands in general are in a triple meter, like a waltz, you know, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, but with the emphasis on the second beat. So
1-2-3.
Yeah, or emphasis.
Yeah,
you know, and
yeah.
it's a bit slower, but it's something that if you Google the dance and watch somebody dance, you wouldn't necessarily guess it from what you hear in a saraband. It's quite florid, quite fancy, but the saraband has this spirit which sounds like a sort of striving to be noble. The descriptions of a saraband from its time are all about that, and there's an inner sense of beauty and propulsion, I think, from that beat characteristic.
It's a dignified dance.
It's very dignified.
Saraband, and this one comes from one of the cello suites?
Right. Since we mentioned earlier about the YouTube Symphony and I played it there, I thought I might as well tie that in. This is the Saraband from the first suite by Johann Sebastian Bach. Thank you.
Sarban from the first?
From the first.
Cello suite of the six suites for unaccompanied cello by Johann Sebastian Bach. One more from Joshua Roman, and this is another contemporary composer, and I gather this piece also has a lot of things to listen for in it.
This piece is a beautiful ballad, is actually what it's called, by Aaron J. Kernis, who's a dear friend of mine and writing me a cello concerto as we speak. But this particular work is for solo cello and seven recorded cellos. So on this recording, I played all eight cello parts myself and overdubbed them.
Degree of accuracy must have been very high to make that work.
It was pretty hard. I had to make a click track for myself, you know, in my hotel room with the recording, saying one and two and three and four and five and six, and you know, it's very free sounding, but there's a lot that goes into that.
And the name of the piece?
This is Ballad.
By Aaron J. Kernis, which featured how many cello tracks, Joshua?
Eight cello, one solo and seven backup cello tracks.
Are you good for nine now? You want to see how far you can go with this?
I don't know how far I want to split my personality, but...
Quite a project.
Right.
And after you perform with the UW Symphony tomorrow night, back to New York, back to Seattle,
back home to New York for a couple of days, and then actually not so far from here, I'll be in Chicago performing for Chicago Presents, interesting program with Jimmy Lin and John Brusier and Deborah Hoffman. It'll be quite fun.
Well, thanks for stopping by today and sharing some of your work with me.
Thank you for having me, Norman.